I've not been asked what my opinion is about how we should spend the ARPA money. You know, I wasn't here when that happened. I guess there were a couple times the council voted in 2021 about how the money would be spent. I don't get a lot of chances to talk to our mayor. My last meeting was about 10 minutes long. It was right up against an agenda conference, so I didn't really have a chance to talk about ARPA. I don't really get an opportunity to share what I think ARPA money should be spent on, or any money for that matter. And most of what I learn is from press conferences. That's why I asked Don if he could do a summary of what happens in the press conferences so I'd know what we were going to see in the next agenda. We're not invited to the press conferences, just so you know. So a lot of the things that we find out is through that. If not, it's on the agenda.
So that was Charles Bear, City Council Member Charles Bear, played those clips the other day. And as we do, we like to give a chance for the other side to respond. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He was not at the meeting. At least I believe he was not at the meeting. I listen to my meetings. I don't watch them typically. So if I get a fact like that wrong, I apologize. But Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Charles Bear wants an invitation to the press conferences. I assume they can go to the press conferences, right?
Of course. we get lots of emails from Councilman Bear. None of them say, can I come to the press conference? And, you know, listen, at the end of the day, I emailed Don and Charles for this list of complaints that we've never seen. So, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, that's not how I operate. I mean, I kind of just go to the source, you know, and say, if I've got an issue. And, you know, it's unfortunate to take up six other people's time in a long meeting. We're happy to oblige. I would put, and I believe Councilman Bear's on record saying, as someone who probably has the best perspective of how previous administrations have operated in terms of transparency, in terms of communication,
right?
I would put our administration up with any of them. And I think he's even said that in a public meeting. So we're happy to discuss things. Can we sit down with all seven people every week before a press conference? No, that's not feasible. That would be 25% of my time to give an update. So yeah, of course. I think if you're the board and we're the CEO, we're the operator, that you are going to learn things when you have a weekly press conference that are happening in the city that can't be hand fed to all seven people. And I think six of those people don't have necessarily that expectation. But again, it doesn't agree or disagree, vote yes or vote no. This job requires a short memory, and it requires working with people who are much like you and who aren't like you. And that's part of the obligation of the job I'm in. So
absolutely,
we're always happy to meet with folks, to communicate with them. And certainly the idea that we're not invited to a press conference. We have lots of random people that have nothing to do with the press conference that come to a press conference. So I don't know why. I'll state it on the record right now. Any of the seven people can come to any of the press conferences anytime they want.
And that was actually a part of it, too. And when I was talking about this the other day, I thought it just seems like a weird way to address the problem. You know, I would just kind of go to the person is the way I would do it. But which is what you said. Switching gears to other things that maybe a little bit higher profile. The camping ban, public area ban passed with some tinkering to the amounts, which I thought was good. And then the private ban on private property and commercial property did not pass. I favor this outcome. I thought it was good governance, also with the expectation that maybe there's going to be some conversation in the future, especially about, hey, we need to get some solution for where they can go. Are you disappointed you didn't get the ban on private property, or do you feel like this is still an okay direction?
Disappointed is probably a strong word. Here's the reality. Let's step out of governance and anecdotes within ordinances and step into reality. If there's one of our seven council districts that says we prefer encampments on private property, I just would be surprised. I just would be surprised if District 2, Councilman Bear has been adamantly against this,
right?
If District 2 residents said, you know what, I'm good with camping on private property next to my house or on our street, I just would be surprised at that. That doesn't mean it had to pass in its form, but I think the reality is the obligation's now left to the operators of the city, the administration, to have their hands tied with something that could become an issue. So that's the reality. Now, what that solution is, I have a hunch that the county is going to take this on, which then and we'd have to look into that. I don't know if that preempts us, if the county has an ordinance. And even if it didn't, for whatever reason, that's going to put the city in a quite a predicament. If the county has one rule on, on what you can do on private property and the city doesn't. And so, so that's not to say I think I've, that my solution has to be the best solution, but left unspoken, unsaid, unaddressed, I do think is going to be an issue. I just do. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And we'll see what, maybe if the county takes it on, that kind of reinvigorates this conversation, and we'll see what happens from there.
And certainly, I know you've said many, many times in the past that you want to see a solution in terms of more low barrier access shelter space. You want to see a solution to help these people. And obviously, a lot of things the administration has done have been working in the direction of helping people get whatever help we are able to give them. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that doesn't go without saying in the conversation. You made an announcement, a couple of announcements yesterday in your press conference. Pardon me, I didn't get a chance to watch all of it, but I watched the first 10 minutes so far. The airport got a $4 million grant from the feds to go with the $5 million from the state, and that puts us where on the project funding?
Yeah, so important to know, two important airport updates. The one that all of you listeners care about, parking. We have 434 spaces that we incentivize the contractor to finish before the holidays, and they will do that. It's November 18th, I believe, they'll be open on Tiffin Avenue, 434 spaces. So
that's the old grassy knoll lot and just that in that area, right?
Yeah, with a shuttle and everything, 24-hour, all that. So, you know, easy access. And then the what's big about the $4 million, we got $5 from the state already, $4 million from the feds. It's a $90 million project. So you might listen to that and say, Mayor, you know, $9 million. I mean, that's great, but, you know, that's nowhere near that. We will be bonding the remaining amount. So so we are moving forward. But the great thing is that's 10% of the estimated cost that doesn't have to come out of the airport bond. And secondly, most importantly, is when you get on the FAA terminal grant program list where you're getting funding, that first funding is always the hardest to get on the list. Mm-hmm. And so nothing prevents us from next year getting additional funding as well as the project continues to move forward. And the more solid the project is, the more viable of a application you have with the FAA, right? So if we're moving forward and we're under construction, nothing stops us from getting money like Panama City got $10 million, I believe, and Mobile got 4 or 5 as well. So the key here is not even just the amount. It's the fact that we're on the list.
We're in.
And that's always
foot's in the
a
door.
Huge thing for us.
Okay. And yep, so exactly. This just occurs to me. This might be the dumbest question I'm ever going to ask you, but I just don't know this space very well. Is TDC money stuff that you could use for funding the airport expansion? Because it's pretty obviously directly related to tourism, and I just don't know the answer to that. Because as we're talking about this $90 million bond issue to build a, you know, athletic facility and renovate the Bay Center, it just suddenly occurs to me that that's an awful lot of money that could maybe be used for the airport. Is that even possible?
Well, first, don't sell yourself short. That's not the dumbest question you've ever asked.
Nice. Well done, sir. Well done.
I believe the remnants of my visit Pensacola board chair days tells me that TDC cannot be used for infrastructure.
Okay.
We do think there could be a case for Triumph, obviously, because of, I mean, we don't have to, you know, go through all those, the obvious things that having a big airport helps you in terms of economic development, but it's not going to be a huge number, likely because of course Triumph is rewarding those higher paying type jobs.
Got it.
And the expansion of an airport terminal may not do that. So we'll look at every option, but here, the most important point is we are aggressively taking the steps to bond with or without money from the feds, with or without money from the state. We are moving forward. And I think that commitment and that the state and the feds saw that commitment that we're going no matter what, this will get built. Actually helped us get this $9 million versus saying, oh, well, we may not do it unless you give us money. So it was a political strategy kind of to say we're full steam ahead. But I do think that's been the difference of getting these two awards.
Bruce Beach next Friday, right? It's going to officially open.
Yep. We've had 3 weeks of consistent safe testing. We had one pop and then we went right back in our normal protocol with Department of Health followed up. It was clean. So that doesn't mean we're walking away and said we've solved it. But the reason we delayed it from October 12th was because we wanted to, put a priority on, like we always do. Well, let's maintain what we got. Let's figure out how to fix the things we got before we go cut a ribbon somewhere. So we feel like we're in a good place. Our work continues for source tracking to see if there's a leaky pipe or a cross connection or whatever the case may be somewhere up that stormwater system. But so we aren't done, but we feel comfortable enough now you know, to say, all right, well, now we can kind of turn towards, because I mean, the phase two is done. I mean, it's just behind a fence right now. I mean, it's clearly, you know, it's ready to go. Right. We want to get that, you know, into the hands of the citizens. There will be parking in phase two. I've gotten that question a million times.
Thank the maker.
There will be parking. It's on the west on Clubs, facing kind of Transmontane, facing away from the baseball park down on Club Street right there on the south end. So, so there'll be a little bit of parking there. And then, of course, all the parking at the stadium as well.
Outstanding. Red light cameras. You made an announcement yesterday in what I appreciate was an effort to avert the inevitable Facebook viral post. Oh, my God, they're putting red light cameras in. Well, yeah, but when are they going to go active? Ninth and Bayou, Ninth and Fairfield are the first places you're doing construction, right?
Right. Here's, as of today, here's an indicator. The mayor doesn't know when they're going to go live on an exact date. So someone on Facebook also doesn't know live when they're going to go. So the reason we said something yesterday at all was because construction is starting around those. Now most citizens wouldn't know what they were doing there, right? It could be fixing the light. I mean, it's not obvious what they're doing necessarily. But
they're not wearing uniforms that say we're installing red light cameras while they're working. No.
Okay. or we didn't want the photo enforced sign on the side of someone's truck and then someone take a photo of it, say, you know, it's happening tomorrow kind of thing. So the truth is we don't know an exact date yet. And even when we do, to cause comfort, we will be grace period. We will have a grace period, for those lights. So, I mean, even if you saw a flash, and this is the last thing you heard before that a couple months from now, which should not happen. We should be narrating this to you. But if it is somehow, there will be a grace period for a certain amount of time, obviously, as we test the technology, make sure that people know that it's there. And Andrew, I'll reinforce what me and you always talk about in this thing is the goal. This is not a revenue driver. This is to stop people getting hurt or killed in these intersections. So we're not in a rush to go start, you know, writing people tickets. But I am in a rush to stop having people get hurt and killed at our intersection. So, you know, so we'll work through that. But Ninth and Bayou will be first, which is actually our number one intersection.
Yeah, maybe
I don't know.
Right.
I think that's coincidental, but it's our number one for the last 10 years, incidents and injuries. And then Ninth and Fairfield, the east and west bound on Fairfield will be the next one.
So red light winter is coming, but just not yet. Very good. Eventually. Okay, so the lightning round. We always like to end with the lightning round. A lot of these are Halloween related because, you know, it's Halloween tomorrow. What's your top Halloween candy? If you were to go knock on a door, not that you would as mayor adult, but maybe you do. What's the one that gets you the most excited?
Sour candy. I would say, you know, the sour straws or the gummy worms or whatever.
To make you pucker a little
less
bit?
Less chocolate, more sour.
All right. What's a movie scene that messed you up as a kid?
Oh, man. You know, I was always a little wimpy about horror movies as a kid. You know, I guess Halloween movies. I mean, you know, Jason standing there, you know, in the darkness. You know, I don't know that there's one particular, but
kind of collective accumulation of all of them.
I was watching football.
You know? Okay. You were watching football.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Well, Freddy Krueger was rough.
Okay.
Know,
all right.
Facial, but, yeah.
Bed of blood. I got you. And the last one, not a Halloween related one. What's something that everyone else seems to love that you just don't even understand or maybe haven't even tried? Anything fall into that category for you? My answer on this was energy drinks. Right. I've never even tried one because I don't want to.
Oh my God! Oh well, yeah.
I need an energy drink?
Yeah. I mean, I'd give you my brand. I don't know if I'm that's advertising or what conflict of interest that is, but man, you know, well, I'll tell you, it's easy. The one that always struggles is oysters. Cannot do them. You know,
and never have. I've never tried.
I guess it doesn't fit your, yes, barely. I mean, like one
tried twice, enough to say no.
Enough. It's a texture thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Okay.
Yeah, can't
all
do
right.
it.
Well, very good. Mayor D.C. Reeves, and by the way, I'm with you on that. I've tried them every way they're available, and I still can't. I don't enjoy it. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
I wish I could, because people seem to, and I just don't. Mayor D.C. Reeves, Pensacola Mayor, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, as always, for the time, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Hey, thank you.